You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining us here today, friends, on this Monday. God bless you. Happy Monday to you. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Monday with us as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're tuning into God's frequency today. This is WGOD Radio. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you if you just go to where he's speaking. The word today is going to come out of the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. Probably more imperatives, more commands in this last chapter than, well, certainly than anywhere in the book of Hebrews. And we're going to look at one of my favorite verses, and that is where the writer of Hebrews says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God he doesn't change. His word does not change. His promises do not change. When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he's still the same. And that promise does not change. He said, I am the door. All who enter in by me shall be saved. He's still the same. When we read that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, he's still the same. He might not have said it, but he is the word of God. Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, he's the same today, and he is the same forever. That's our launching point for this message. Here we go. This is part one of this message now. Jesus is the same. Jesus is the same forever. That's where we are at here today. Wrapping up Hebrews today. Okay, let's pray before we get started. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. On account of the atonement and the 3 hours of darkness and what transpired in that darkness, we come to you and believe that you have great and mighty things that you want to accomplish in us, through us, to us, all because of what happened in that time of darkness. We thank you that because of the atonement, you love us, you saved us, you've redeemed us, you hear us, and when we pray in the name of Jesus, it's because of what happened during those times and that you answer our prayers and you hear our prayers. Be with us now. Speak to us through your word. We, in search of truth, lead us and guide us with it. Your son said, everyone who is of the truth hears your voice. We listen for your voice now. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Again, we're wrapping up Hebrews now. And I've really enjoyed preaching through this book. This is the very first time I've preached through Hebrews from the pulpit. Now today we're going to sit under the authority of the last chapter and we'll see if we have time to do a recap of the entire book at the end. And let me tell you now, we are not going to have time for that. Now let's pick it up here from the top of chapter 13. Now this chapter has a lot of imperatives in it. There's a whole lot of lettuce, and I don't mean iceberg or romaine. Let us. So let us pick it up from chapter 13, starting with the very first commandment here,
and that is, let brotherly love continue. Greek word, Philadelphia. Brotherly love. So he commands us, keep loving. That's the command. These are all imperatives. Many times it's let us. Here it's keep loving. That's the command. Keep loving. I guess because it's easy to stop loving other people due to both this evil world in which we live in and because we are fallen creatures and we sin and we let people down and people let us down and we miss the mark from time to time, don't we? And we put conditions on love. We put conditions on our love, don't we? So he commands us, let love continue or remain. I'll add to that. Don't fulfill Bible prophecy.
What do you mean?
Well, the Lord said, because lawlessness will increase, the love of many will wax cold. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let this evil world chink away at your love. That's why he commands us, keep loving. Keep loving. We used to sing a song from time to time which said that they will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. The Apostle John offers love as the evidence or the proof of your salvation. He says in 1 John 3:14, he says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. 1 John 3:14. So we could call you, if that's you, the walking dead. The walking dead. He who does not love his brother abides in death. And I could see why he commands it. I mean, look at the end result. Look at the end result for getting this wrong. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Look at the end result for getting this wrong for being a Christian who does not love. Look what he says. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Isn't that a horror movie, by the way? The Walking Dead? That's a zombie, isn't it? The old TV show, The Walking Dead. So we've coined a new phrase here this morning, The Walking Dead. Zombies who think that they are Christians but don't love their Christian brother, you're the walking dead. Abides in death, he said it. Jesus said this about love, John 13:34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Or by this, everyone will know that you belong to me. It's conditional. If you have love for one another. That's the evidence of your salvation. So, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So, yes, let brotherly love continue. All right, verse 2. And the next imperative. Do not, he says. Do not forget is the next imperative. Do not forget to entertain strangers. For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertain angels. Imagine that. He says, do not forget. Matter of fact, I mean, he commands that. Do not forget. Do not forget to entertain, and do not forget to entertain strangers. Not just your friends, but old Felix too. Felix who? Felix Xenia. No, not the Spanish guy that lives next door to you. Felix Xenia is Phileo and Zeno. You know, they always call Trump a xenophobe, hater of aliens. Where here it's Philo Zeno. lover of a stranger. He commands this here. Love your neighbor. Do not forget to entertain strangers, because you just never know who that stranger is. You never know who that stranger is. In Genesis chapter 18, God and two angels showed up at Abraham's tent doorstep disguised as strangers. And old Abe put some steaks on the bobby. Let's call them Jerusalem Strip instead of New York Strip. And then old Abraham whipped up some garlic knots for them too, or as I like to call gnarlic gods. Not only that, but the next day, the two angels disguised as strangers, then went to Sodom and to the house of Abraham's nephew, Lot, probably pretending to be hungry. And then Lot proceeded to put some steaks on the grill and some garlic knots for them as well. Man, I bet this was the best these angels have ever eaten in their entire life. I mean, I can hear it now. We need to come down here more often. It's probably what they said. I mean, they get steak one day, they get up, they leave, they go down the street, and they have steak the next day. They might have gone 400 million years without eating. Now they get porterhouse. Back-to-back day. The point is, you never know who's going to show up at your house for dinner, is what the point is. You could unwittingly be entertaining angels. One last thing here. Notice there's no mention of anything green being offered to the Lord or to these two angels, just an aside. Let's get that out of the way right there. Verse 3. And the next imperative, remember. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body as well. You see, what evil people do to them, they do to you. He says, remember them as if you were chained to them. Is this commandment. What they do to them is because of their faith. Make no mistake about it. What happens to these guys that are chained is because they are known by the noble name of Christian. Make no mistake about it. The devil has declared an all-out war against the people of faith. Man, woman, and child, especially child. Don't forget that. But the winning formula for overcoming is still the same. Listen to these verses out of the book of Revelation, right at the place where God finally tosses Satan out of heaven. Let's flip back a couple pages in your Bible to Revelation chapter 12. But keep your thumb here in Hebrews 13. We'll be back there. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. It says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. Now check out this clash of the titans. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So that great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and that they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. So all this and more coming up soon. But in the meantime, the persecution remains the same. And no matter what century that you live in, the way to victory in Jesus is always the same, no matter when you live. And that is how to overcome. You overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, he said. That is, the blood of Jesus Christ obliterates your sins. How do you overcome the devil? Because people all throughout the years, there's always been prisoners for Christ. He's saying to remember them as if you were chained to them. How do you overcome? Number one, the blood of the Lamb. Number two, the word of your testimony. That is, I got a Bible here. I'm putting my hand on it, my other hand up, and I'm saying, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's my Lord. The word of their testimony. I'm a Christian. Try that on for size. Number three, how do you overcome? I love him more than I love myself. Remember, all those who love their lives will lose them, Jesus said. All those who hate their lives will keep them for eternal life. Again, I love him more than I love myself. If you fail number three, you failed all of these. They did not love. How do you overcome Satan? You do not. You love him more than you love yourself. They did not love their lives to the end. You must prove the devil wrong concerning you. Remember what the devil said to God about Job. He said, skin for skin, all that a man has, he will give for his life. That's what the devil thinks about you until you prove him wrong. That you will do anything to save your hide. Next up, next command, marriage. Marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. And the judgment will be guilty. If you have no intercessor, and if you've got no go-between, no one to stand in the gap between you and Almighty God, the judgment is guilty. Marriage is honorable among all, naturally, since God created and instituted marriage. Not the government and not the clerk of courts didn't invent marriage. God invented it. It's all the way back to the second chapter in the first book of the Bible. A marriage that is not godly is not recognized by God. A marriage that is not godly is not recognized by God. Everything else is sexual immorality, including adultery, and God will judge accordingly. Here's how the Apostle Paul put it. He said, do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? What a perfect time. Thunder, lightning. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Then he says, do not be deceived, meaning don't kid yourself. Don't pay attention to what others are telling you. Neither fornicators, that's any sexual relations outside of marriage. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. So that's both homosexuals. That's Harry and Sally. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, not to leave them out, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. Please get your verb tenses correct here. W-E-R-E, were, not are, such were some of you. The correct tense reveals your true spiritual condition. Such are some of you. Look, when this describes you today, man, you guys got to fix this. And this, he says, and such were some of you. This should describe who you used to be, not who you are now. See, there's the skinny on marriage. Now that you know the truth, do it right. Honor God with all that you do. Look, a healthy dose of fearing God is a good thing. We read in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, it says that you have the spirit of the fear of God on the inside of you. Let me add to that. If you've gotten this one wrong like most people have, this probably is number one on the list that Christians have fallen short on, is this one right here. And if that's you, what do you do? Five things. Number one, confess it. Remember, we read 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If that's you, number one, you confess it. Number two, you repent of it. Metanoia. Meta means a change of condition. Noia is your noggin. You're going to think differently. Change your mind. They'd say in the Air Force, do an about face. You leave it behind and start going in the other direction. That's what repent means. Which is number three, leave it behind. This is why Jesus died, to cleanse us from these sins that we have committed. Number four, make it right. There's no good confessing it if you're not going to make it right. Don't waste your time. Make it, well, if you're going to confess it, then you got to make it right. Number five, pray for God's help. Pray for God's help to keep you from repeating it. Sexual intimacy is reserved for married people. Next up, next command, Christian conduct. Man, oh man, you could just hear a pin drop in here. The talk about silence in heaven for 30 minutes. Well, we can't skip over when he talks about the marriage bed, we can't just overlook that and go talk about everything else. We're going to flesh out all of these scriptures here. And he's warned. That's why he says that you don't be deceived or don't kid yourself. Because this world out here will talk you out of that and tell you, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Some people in England, they marry their cats. Let me tell you, there's something. You heard it here first. On the 13th of July, year of our Lord, 2025. God does not honor your marriage if you marry a cat. If you are a man, God does not honor your marriage if you marry a man. Oh, the clerk might marry you, but you're not married in the eyes of God. Marriage is reserved between a man and a woman. Make no mistake about it. That's why he says, do not be deceived. Because people will always try to talk you out of that. Next up, Christian conduct. Verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? All right, so first point, don't lust after somebody else's stuff. The second, be happy with what you have. Because as he says next, you have Jesus and Jesus has you. And if you stop and think about it, Jesus is enough. And with that truth in mind, we've got verse 6. Since we have Jesus always, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? That's Psalm 27. Church, life is this constant checkup and examination. When Jesus is all that you have, you'll discover that Jesus is all that you need. Sometimes it takes great trials of affliction to learn that. Isn't that the truth? When Jesus is all that you have, you'll discover that Jesus is all that you need. Everything else is just leeches that attach themselves to you and drain your blood like Count Dracula. Next up, remember your spiritual leaders and pastors. Verse 7, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. Consider in the outcome of their conduct. A much better translation would be, remember those who lead you, not rule over you. Those who speak the word of God to you. Here in this church, that would be me, and that would be that man over there as well. Follow their faith. It better be good. God's going to hold us, he's going to hold us accountable if it's not. Follow our faith. Paul said, imitate me, as I also imitate Christ. And consider what their consider where their conduct will take them, he said. That's no added burden to me, huh? Now he's commanded them, follow the faith of your pastor or pastors, those that teach the word to you. And consider what my conduct might lead to, other than you becoming a carnivore. We already see this in action, though, don't we? I mean, who would dare bring a broccoli casserole into this church for a food fellowship? Speaks for itself. Next up, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God, he still loves people unconditionally. He still looks at you and loves you. Peter wrote that down 2,000 years ago when he said the Lord looked at him and he loved him. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Maybe you're not, but he is. And that's either good news for you or it's bad. He hasn't changed. The word's still the same. Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday and today and forever. That's what God said as well. He said in Malachi, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3. Is it true?